Welcome to 98% Pure Potato, the podcast. This is John Griffiths speaking. I'm continuing this theme about branded screenplays. Last week I talked about genre, and this time I want to talk about the character itself. That should be one of the easiest things to do because that is really the responsibility of the team whose brand character it is. So there should already be one in existence, or the team should know it pretty well. If you don't have any agreement about what your brand character is, then that should be the exercise. The purpose of a brand screenplay workshop is not to come up with the brand character, but you'd have that as a starter, as the character, which you're then going to take through this workout to develop it further and see what you make of it. So I've never really had problems with getting from the client team what the brand character was about. If there's any difficulty with that, it may be that it becomes a bunch of adjectives, which is about being hardworking, intelligent. It's not always as bad as that, but where you realize as soon as you put these qualities down that it's a fairly abstract and not a very particularly human character. But normally, because the brand is familiar, it's fairly easy to talk about the gender of the brand, what sort of age it is, what sort of mannerisms the brand might have. So that is a fairly straightforward thing to put together. And in my experience, you don't end up with massive arguments about the brand being different kinds of people, so we therefore have to settle this before we stretch on. Fairly quickly, the team will be able to say, this is what the brand is like, this is the kind of character that it is. The next question is really about who else you put in alongside the brand. I like to have some competitors in there, particularly key competitors, because obviously then within the story you have rivalries, you have where the brand feels strong, where the brand feels weak, and that would be a natural thing to do. Because this is about storytelling, you don't need to have absolutely everyone in there, particularly in a crowded category, because that doesn't really help very much. If the brand is very similar to other brands, then that might lead you towards a kind of friendship group type screenplay, because what you're doing is telling a story which develops the character of your brand versus others who are quite similar, and one looks at where that might emerge. An example I would think of is, it was actually beer brands, and what we were looking at was someone going for an interview to be a chauffeur at a company alongside two other competitor beer brands. I remember doing that as a storyline. And the issue was, who gets the job? Who makes the impression? Beer brand we were talking about, as soon as the brand was in direct competition for a job with the others, and they had to go and sit in reception, they had to talk to the receptionist, they had to make an impression, the differences between them became quite exaggerated, and that was very useful to help to understand what made this particular beer brand special. So having immediate rivals is good. If you have a very crowded category, it doesn't make any sense to have 7, 8, 10 different characters who are very similar, because you just get lost, as you would in a movie. So one of the other opportunities in terms of the other characters you can have in there is brands who have absolutely nothing to do with it. Now what I mean by that is from a completely different category, simply because they're quite well defined, they're quite strong. The danger is that they become so strong, so dominant, that your brand goes into the shade by comparison with them. But this can sometimes be interesting as a way of simply trying to understand what the weaknesses and shortcomings of the particular brand are, and sometimes that's the kind of competition which brings out the character that you're looking for. The basic rule with when you put a cast together is really how long you've got to put something together. If you're just putting a scene together, you might only have three characters in there in competition against trying to get the attention of a person, as I described in the Kill Bill and the Pride and Prejudice examples last week. The basic rule is that the characters need to be reasonably different from each other, and to work in a whole screenplay, every character has got to interact with one of the other characters, otherwise there's no point. They just become two-dimensional. It's when each character has a scene or some kind of exchange with another character that you start to see the differences between them, and this is where the contrast and the conflict comes, and that's when you start to see the characters developing. So there's no point in having characters in there who don't do anything, who play no function, or who play a role in one scene but don't simply do anything in any other scene. You bring them in as you would with theatre cast, and you try and make sure, if you've got a company of actors, that you make full use of the characters you've got. Don't be worried about doing something more extreme as long as you use the character. I'll give you an example. We had a situation where the job was about water, and we were normally dealing with mineral water brands, but one of the things we were looking at was the water company. In other words, why do I need to buy my water in a bottle from a particular spring? Why don't I just get it out the tap? It's a perfectly reasonable thing. So we turned the water company into a dog, a fairly destructive dog that would run amok and do various things. And it might seem really odd that you would do something like that. But by virtue of having an unexpected character, you could have a character who's a parrot or something. If the character then behaves in a way which is appropriate to who they are, they have to be contained within the story, and they have to be contained by the characters in the plot. And I seem to remember that what happened was that the dog would run amok and be out of control, cause difficulty to other people. And the interesting thing was which character in the film was able to get the dog under control, had the strength and the respect to be able to do that, when actually in the film most of them didn't. So even when you have a brand which is slightly different, and don't be afraid to give them a different role, like making them another species entirely. I think the easiest thing for me to do is then, as we go on, is to give you some examples of how the storytelling goes. But hopefully this gives you a sense of how freewheeling it is. And once you've selected your characters, you can pretty much do anything to them. Next week I'll talk about what you do in the first 12 pages of the film, of the screenplay, because that's really where you have to put the characters under pressure to go somewhere new and to create the kind of drama from which the development of the character comes. But for now, I just wanted to be clear about the selection of characters. You've got a free hand. Work within your category, but be free to borrow other characters from outside the category. Make sure they all interact and make sure they're interesting. That's pretty much it for this week. Thanks for listening.